Musical chairs with the offensive line again. Again. Musical chairs with the offensive line again. Again.
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Welcome back in. 1 hour down. That is the tunes of Dolly Parton. Rest in peace to the legend, the one and only, one-of-a-kind Dolly Parton. 80 years old, passed away today as... I know these two gentlemen have years of growing up.
Yeah,
your dad's magazines.
And oh man, not only the Dolly Parton Playboy in a third drawer in the bathroom, but the just in general that 80s in the 80s, man. Mom and Dad sitting on that green church pew, L shaped church pew in the front yard on Park Street, drinking and smoking. With a little dolly blaring with the old El Camino, in the driveway, and Dolly was a staple. Now, that's when I was burning bugs with Dad's cigarettes. Remember when Tyler thought I had a problem?
I don't think Tyler thought.
Hey, let me tell you, Big Earn had a plan. That son of a buck said, one more bug, one more time, let me catch you playing with them. Because, you know, they'd still be a little cherry on the end of it. Big Earn would just throw them on the ground. I'd find one every now and then. He said, let me catch you one time, one more time, and you're going to take a puff off that.
Psycho C.
I said, all right, Dad, all right. Sure enough, he came around that corner, and I was burning bugs next to the house, behind the grass in the house, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
He said, gotcha. Take you a puff. I said, Dad, are you serious? Yeah, I told you not to do it. I took a puff off that thing, and it burnt my chest. I thought I was burning from the inside out. I have not taken a pull off a cigarette since.
That's it. Done it for you.
That is it.
Here it is, boys and girls.
I'm telling you, brutal.
Yeah.
Awful. I've only inhaled once on something else.
I think it is.
Within the last 5 years.
I think for me, personally, it's like, you know, when you're first meeting, it is maybe the most unattractive thing to me.
Oh, no question. I told y'all, Natalie from Crosby.
Damn, Nat.
Natalie from Crosby. I mean, stallion, son. I mean.
You smoke Swisher Sweets, Black and Miles, clothes, whatever you're doing, those things, fine.
Marlboro Reds. If you're smoking the same thing Big Earn was smoking, I have a real hard time getting tongue-tied with you.
You're in Virginia Slims, Newports.
Chief.
Camels. I'm out, man.
Chief.
Man. I don't care if she looked like Dolly in her heyday.
Natalie eased on out to the truck. I remember like, hey, man, the ditch was about 6-7 foot deep. Boy, I was willing to risk my life in that ditch to get around to that passenger side of that truck with Natalie. I got around there and she hit me with that old smoker's breath. I said, oh, no.
I'm out.
I mean, I tried. I didn't walk off immediately. I tried.
Tried to hang in there?
I gave Natalie a good couple minutes.
He had something that made you want to hang in there and just at least give her.
Yes, I'm telling you, that's how bad it was. That's how bad smoker's breath was for me.
Chief, I mean, tastes like cigarettes.
Chief, I mean, quarter horse. Oh man,
quarter horse with. Smoked the same cigarettes your dad.
Yeah, smoking the same. Big Earn made me puff on when I was young. I said, I'm out. I about fell in that ditch trying to get out of that truck.
Yeah. All right.
You think Natalie from Crosby listens?
Yeah. Probably. FM now.
Her husband does.
Yeah. He's been pissed off for years.
I bet she got some more Crosby Cougar athletes out there.
He broke her.
Tall gal.
He got her to stop smoking. Look here, Nat. This is it. It ends here, or I'm out. You've already lost the two-time SEC. SEC quarterback.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say the way this one looked, there were several fellas that didn't mind that smoker's breath. It just blew right through that stop sign.
You can't have it all.
I had options, cuz. I had options, you know what I mean?
You can't have it all.
That's it, man. Yeah. They blew right through that stop sign.
Yeah, she likes it. She smokes a little unfiltered Marlboro a little bit. Go ahead, man. I'll take it. All right.
Off the wicket to Becky.
The Texans, it looks like, Clint, we have an understanding of this offensive line. Again, nothing will be surprising. I'm going to write this in erasable pen if those still exist. But it looks like Ursary, Rutledge on the left side, Evan Brown in the middle as the center, and then Ingram and Trent Brown on the right side. That's what we saw in the game on Thursday, where it looked like their dress rehearsal. They came off the field when CJ came off the field. Those guys didn't play another down. It looks like we have this. Now, if we look at last year, Clint, run blocking ranked 32nd by ESPN. PFF had them maybe a little bit higher, but still, you know, the bottom part of the league. Pass protection, ESPN had them ranked 30th. And they were low with PFF and their pass blocking metrics as well. Struggled to keep a clean pocket for CJ and Davis Mills throughout the year. So we know the issues, and obviously they went and addressed it in a lot of different ways. Right now we're looking at at least two to three, and if you count Trent Brown, who didn't play all season, 2 to 3 new starters with other guys that they've paid. This group, Clint, and I don't mean in terms of like the best in the league, but is this group, you think, good enough for what the Texans need for this offense to reach the area it needs to reach to go along with this defense? Is this line, this five, this best five, good enough?
Yeah, I do. I think they're good enough. The operative part of that sentence you just said, though, being to complement this defense, yes, well enough to give you the thought.
That's what they need. They just need to be good enough for the offense to do what it needs to
do. Yeah, I do. Look, I love the veteran at center. I know they didn't land there really by choice per se, but I love Evan Brown, 6, 7, 8 years in the league. I love the veteran at center. And Keelan Rutledge, having the ability to pull him and add him to Ingram and Trent Brown on that right side, that turns me on. That gets me good and worked up right there. Now, and again, you can add Cade Stover from a fullback position. You can add Foster Moreau from a tight end position. You know, if the young fella, Marlon Klein, gets to a point where he's the more physical, the better run blocking tight end, cool. But I mean, you can see where this offensive line is going to be a really, really good improvement to what we saw last year. Now, I say that understanding that they were in the 30s last year from a run blocking perspective. Yeah. So, I think you'll see a pretty significant improvement, you know, for on the offensive line when it comes to what they first and foremost want to do is run the football. I do think they'll have a more convincing, consistent run game.
I agree with that. It feels like, and obviously the Raiders was just, you know, maybe some of their second team guys, and now they had success in the scrimmage too. To be honest with the Raiders, when they had their top guys out, that's all you can watch. And the Raiders weren't a great run defense last year, but based off all we have to watch, you can see the improvements. Man, I think Trent Brown and Ingram probably would have folded up a lot of guys over there the way they were coming off the ball. And I think Rutledge is a huge improvement wherever the hell he plays, guard, center, and it looks like guard right now. I feel comfortable that the run blocking will have a pretty clear difference. I got to wait and see on the pass protection. That's the point there, because I know we even saw in that game, you highlighted it, there was even a miss there that C.J. Stroud kind of covered up.
Yep.
From, I believe, Ingram, maybe it was. And there's some that the pass protection is the thing for me. When everybody knows they've got a pass, that's the part that I still kind of hold. But it looks like right now they're on track to be what this offense needs it to be. Again, it does not have to be great. Text line coming in, hell no, guys, get off the gas. Someone texted in, Casario with more whiffs, Teller and Braden Smith. Now, that's true. Looks like those were not what they thought they were going to be. But I like right now, I look at this group, especially from a run blocking perspective. We'll see on the pass protection, but I think the run blocking will help their pass protection, what they want to do. I don't think we're going to be looking at a team that's ranked 30th on ESPN's pass block win rate and 32nd on ESPN's run block win rate. Even if there are some injuries, because their depth is even better than, than Haskins.
Well, look, if you want to talk about Nick Caserio and who they paid, that's fine. That's a different conversation. But I think one reason that you go all out and you bring Trent Brown back on top of Blake Fisher, on top of Braden Smith, the reason that you go out and you get multiple centers and multiple guys that can play guard and center, and you draft guards, not one but two that could potentially play, the reason you do that is to give yourself options. And the reason you do that is because you've been so bad previously, and it's been really the reason why you haven't been able to advance. And so we can talk about the two higher paid offensive linemen that it looks like they missed on. But when you look at it in the big scheme of things, their plan of attack has worked. Or at least, let me say, nothing's worked until we see it on Sunday. So that's fair. But in my opinion, where they've landed with this offensive line, I think has a chance to be a huge upgrade over what we saw last year. And you want to talk about Braden Smith? I liked Braden Smith when they signed him, but also a week before that, I told you Trent Brown is he's the guy that you can't ignore the traits that he has, right? And so I will admit I'm higher on Trent Brown. I was higher last year. I was higher when they signed him this year on Trent Brown than most. So I'll be honest with you, I don't give a rip about Braden Smith. Now, if Trent gets hurt and we got to play him, then I care about the depth. But I like the idea of what Trent Brown brings to the table. And I love the fact that, like, his shortcomings – it should be very easy for Nick Caley to help him out and make sure it doesn't become a major problem. So I like where they've landed, Ron.
Yeah, and again, I'm not going to sit here and say, like you talked about, that I'm sold until we start seeing into the regular season.
Right.
But I will tell you, Clinton Tyler, as we've been out there the last couple of years, I feel a lot better about what you've watched going into the season this year than I have the last couple of years. Like, guys, we went out there and watched camp last year. It was not a surprise that they struggled on the offensive line based off what we watched.
Yeah.
Not a surprise. Like, we didn't come in here shocked.
It wouldn't surprise them either. They were rotating left guards, for crying out loud.
Right? Yeah, they were. It was not a surprise at all. It's a surprise to me that Braden Smith and Wyatt Teller, neither one of them are starting, it looks like. That's a surprise. Yep. But overall, like, Blake Fisher is better than he has ever been. Another guy that is, the depth is better than it has been. I mean, your starting center is on the bench from last year and may not make the team. Like, that's on the table for him. So, yeah, I think.
Who was the starting right tackle last year before Trent Brown came in?
It
was Titus.
To start the season, it was Urser who was the right tackle, and Cam Robinson was the left tackle.
That's right.
And then Cam didn't make it through the Rams game, and then they immediately had to swing him over.
When they started rotating off guards.
Yeah.
And then it swung. Then when they got tired of rotating guards, they swung Titus Howard back in there.
And then they brought in Trent. Yeah.
And brought Trent in. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
It was the first game of the season. We knew it. First game of the season, we were over there like, hey, man, that Rams D-line, boy, that's going to be problematic.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah,
yeah.
Boy, to think that these guys—I mean, they missed on Cam, Wyatt Teller, and Braden Smith. Boy, that's hard to do.
Lakin Tomlinson.
That's a good point.
And who Juice Scruggs.
Yeah, but Juice is a draft pick. Lakin was a free agent. Who was the other free agent? There was another free agent. Interior.
Ed was.
That's right.
Ed was
the
one.
He panned out. Ed worked.
Ed worked. Yep. Ed got in there and worked. Yep.
Draft picks are different to me, man. It's hard to miss on that many veteran offensive linemen. Like, because it ain't just miss. This is can't play miss.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, Wyatt Teller's played both guards.
Yeah, but again, didn't mean to go down this road, but they put their hands kind of in spaces where you could see it missing. The Cleveland Browns were looking to change their offensive line, and they moved him out. They moved both their guards out. The other one retired, Joe Menito or whatever. He retired. Wyatt Teller, like, they set them down. As soon as we saw Lincoln Tomlinson's deal was for $3 million, you know, you knew what you're getting.
Yeah,
you're getting
yeah.
$3 million worth. Right? So, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, they've not exactly gone up. Now, Cam Robinson is different. Cam Robinson and Braden Smith, they actually spent some money. you know, at those spots for those not to work out. So that does feel a little different. Text line coming in. I'm not worried. I'm worried because you've ended up with a castaway at center for the second year in a row. I think it is a bit different. I think Evan Brown is a bit different than castaway. Right. And I think what's around him is better. So I think Evan Brown is better than a castaway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we'll see. It's definitely a step up from Jake Andrews getting released and then come here and he's a plug and play because he knows the system. So it's definitely a step up from that. Again, I'm not 100% on any of it until we see rubber meeting the road on a Sunday afternoon, but, it sure looks like they're moving in the right direction.
I would agree with that. Coming up, it is Tuesday, and we do a little real or fake at this time. I say a statement. You let me know if it's real or fake. 713-572-4610.
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. And we are joined here. Man, everybody's been talking about this. Everybody's been excited about this. Our text line, YouTube, and Twitch. Everybody loves the jerseys. And there's the helmets. If you're on YouTube and Twitch, you can see the helmets as Clint is wearing this helmet. Tank Dell's probably a size small. Turn your mic on.
I don't know if they make them like they used to, but they used to have these removable jaw pads.
Yeah,
I could probably use a slightly thinner jaw pad, but I feel good about it, man.
There
I feel
go.
Good about it. I it's one of those feel good, you know, look good, feel good, play good type kind of thing. All I got to do is go play.
These is if you're on YouTube and Twitch, you can see the jerseys. Got the little Tank Dell action. Them all whites. These are clean. And Doug Vosick here is joining us, Texans Senior Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer. Doug, we've had you in. We always enjoy talking to you. And, like, I'm not just saying this to you just because you're here. The Texans don't pay us directly. They don't pay us. I'd say this to you anyway. Hey, them last two jerseys, the red joints, and these, y'all thought through the helmet the whole way. The red helmet may be the best helmet in the league. But this joint here, and y'all have incorporated everything in this. That's why you got to look close to this because Houstonians really understand this. I want to get an understanding, Doug, of what all you guys went through to come up with the design of this jersey, everything that you put into it, and what all of this stuff means.
Am I on air for 2 hours?
I don't know if you're on for 2 hours.
I bet
it's a lot of work.
Ooh, check out the uniform guy.
Every time I look to my left, I see this dude with the helmet.
Come on, man.
It does not fit.
No, it doesn't.
That ain't what it's supposed to look like.
We let him roll. All right, so where do I start for you? The beginning?
Yeah, the beginning, please.
Ooh, the beginning. Crazy timing. Go back 2024. We had just launched all those brand new uniforms. You mentioned your favorite reds. Right, that red helmet.
That red helmet, man.
I'm going to claim it, too. Best in the NFL.
That is clean.
I'll take that. I'll take that compliment. We're going to roll with that. But literally, we launched those things. Then 2 months later, Nike comes around and says, hey, we're working on this new program. We're going to give you a fifth uniform. We're like, oh, we just got done these. Okay, let's do this again, right? So they gave us maybe 60, 90 days of like, you need to write us a brief, you know, document that just says, what do you want to get out of this uniform? So we had already launched those other ones, so we knew what fans were, what they were vibing, right? We knew that they were super excited by all that change. We knew they loved the H. We knew they loved the Battle Reds. Like, so we knew we were onto something, right? And it wasn't necessarily about the H. It was about fans really got into, we were telling a local story.
Sure.
And that we brought some H-Town Blue, our city's color, into the mix. So when Nike's like, here's your question. They said, tell us a hyper-local story. Mm. That was literally what they asked of us. And we're like, all right. Well, that gives us part answer already. We're going back to the H. It's our second best-selling uniform already, so we know fans love it, right?
Yeah.
Two, as you heard Hannah and Cal McNair always say, every time we do a new uniform that's an alternate, can we get more H-Town Blue? They delivered on that promise. So we know, hey, let's get some more H-Town Blue in the mix on that one. And then the last was about all the details. So we had to really ask ourselves, like, what's a local story that that hasn't really been told by a pro team through a uniform? And then you turn to the fans. So we go to our fan council. We had two of them at the time. And we said, what are some things about Houston that maybe not everybody knows about, but you think are super cool? A lot of ideas came out, but man, the tile one is the one that popped right away, where people were like, that's special. That's unique. Texans, what can you do with it? And that was the jump.
What is the tile thing is interesting to me because we me and Tyler specifically, but I know Ryan does too. But we really get into this, you know, geeking out over this uniform stuff. And the tile thing to me, you see all the mock-ups and it's the checkerboard mock-up. Yep. And I'm like, I like the tile idea. I don't know. You could really overdo the checkerboard. You could even overdo the tile. What was it, just your mindset in designing? Because I think you knocked it out of the park. I mean, the using it, but more using it as a compliment down the leg of the pant. I can't tell you how sweet it is. You stopped halfway. That's you. That was when I saw it. I was like, right. What I'm saying?
You didn't want them all the
way down. You go all the way to the bottom. You risk being too much. Stopping at that three quarter or halfway mark was one that I was like, yeah, that's it right there. What about the tile piece and how do you incorporate it without being too much? Because it is a little risky. I mean, it's not a solid line, obviously.
Yeah, a little risky. But you think where we start though? We start off. What's the true form of the tile? It's a street sign.
Yeah.
So where does that lead you on a uniform with your starting point? Nameplate.
Yeah.
Right? You're like, that's a one-for-one, the best representation of something in Houston. You're like, street sign equals nameplate.
Nameplate, yeah.
So beautiful enough, man. Like, Nike went and designed every single letter custom to get as close as they could cut and sew down to a blue tile look for that. So that's pretty special. And then even when fans could customize their jerseys, you're going to put your name on it, you'll be able to do the same thing. So that's pretty cool. So we started there. But then if it's just the nameplate, it's like, all right, that's just one piece of it. Where else do you bring it in? So no joke, Clint, we went through all those iterations with Nike. Like, some were checkered, some were blue and white checkered, some were like faint white on white checkered. You could barely see it unless the light hit it a certain way. So when you look at those fan designs that are on Twitter and on Reddit and all that, like,
you've seen them.
A lot of them were pretty close to some of the things we looked at, right? I mean, fans got some beautiful designs out there. And what's interesting is some of them that they really liked. We're like, man, we almost did that one.
Yeah.
We almost did that one. So it really became down to where you're hitting at is what's a tasteful way not to push too hard and use it as a design element versus take over the entire design.
How I guess prominent or how loud was the voice about the white helmet? I think that's been something you've heard from a lot of, like, I mean, got people, fans that were here from the jump, they've always wanted a white helmet. Talk to us a little bit about that piece.
My gosh, finally delivered that white helmet all these years later. And you see it from all different fans, right? We go for our day oneers, our PSL holders, like all the way back. Of course, man, they're like that white helmet that Mr. Bob McNair held up the first time when that brand came out. So a lot of people back then, I wasn't around back then, right?
Right.
A lot of people back then were like, we're going to have a white helmet. And then obviously we went Deep Steel Blue instead. So you have that generation of fans that are like, finally deliver us this white helmet 25, 26, 27 years later. So that's one way to do it. Now, what a beautiful timing though. 25th season.
Yeah.
Harken back to day one. So that's what, like, even on a rivalry uniform, how you could tell a 25th season story through something brand new from the past.
Yeah.
So that was one, right? Two is when we did the uniforms last time, you saw all the threads. Fans loved what was done, but critical feedback, man, we wish y'all would have had a white helmet. That was strong in that feedback last time.
Yeah.
You got to listen.
Yeah.
So that was two. Three is our players. Same thing. Our players, when they saw the last uniform set, loved it, but like, yo, where's the white helmet? We want a white helmet. So what an amazing opportunity to take past, present, future all together in one for the rivalry.
Yeah.
Texan Senior Vice President, Chief Marketing Officer Doug Vosick. He is joining us, and we've had a lot of fun with Doug on air, off air over the years. And I cannot help, because if you follow all of this and you see you guys have done a bit of countdown with the videos and letting us see, and then the release of the video and now the release of the photos. Like, I'm just looking on ESPN and I see they got Slim Thug in it. They got Andre in it. I see Nico with the helmet. It is a clear shift around the time you got here, Doug. It's a clear shift, like embracing a lot of the culture of Houston from the H and how it is symbolized to a lot of bringing in of the Paul Walls or the other. What went into that decision? Because I think, Clint, you've been here for a long time. Tyler, that seems to be a shift in things over the last couple of years, really invoking that in the uniforms and how you guys market a lot of things.
Yeah, you know, we appreciate y'all noticing because it's been a shift for a while. But I'm going to go way back. Go back 22-23. And it's when Cal McNair really set a new expectation for the organization, like culture overset. Right? That's a big change. It's not just about a uniform or a logo. When Cal came to us and said, like, it's time to create the next generation of Texans. Mm-hmm. It's time to fearlessly evolve. It's time to challenge everything. When you do that, you look at everything you do, from game presentation to the faces of the organization to how you look to the food in the state. You do all of that as part of that reset that Cal set a new expectation for. The other part of that was like, Doug from Cal and Hannah, what do the fans want? And what the fans told us when we did all that research was like, yo, we're the Texans. We're proud Texans. Your brand, your uniforms represent Texas Texans. But you know what? We play football in Houston. We play football in H-Town. How can the brand, the team, the club better showcase the beautiful culture of our city? That's what led to all the things that you're calling out.
Yeah, they didn't slide that candy paint past us. They didn't slide that past us on the uniform.
Well, what about, I mean, because look, let's be honest. I told you, I mean, I geek out over this stuff. I mean, I would say that there's about a, and I may be generous, you may know better than me. I'd say there's about a 25% hit rate on these kind of things. I mean, you've obviously overhauled a whole organization. I'm just talking about uniform changes, right? I mean, I would imagine that number shrinks significantly, that percentage shrinks significantly when you talk about overhauling an entire organization. I mean, you guys are aware. I mean, you hit a grand slam. I mean, I was born and raised here, and I was not. I mean, I was still playing. Hell, I was playing with the Cowboys when the Texans became a thing, right? So I'm not one of those original fans that just you could throw crap against the wall. And if you put that bull on it, I'm gonna like it, right? I mean, it's so I feel like I'm kind of in the middle somewhere. And have a fascination with this stuff. And it seems like every step of the way, man, you guys, with you leading the way, have absolutely knocked it out of the park. With the adding the culture, at the every new uniform, including guys that are just part of the fabric of the city, as Show mentioned, the way you bring the former players back and involve them in all of this, man, just it seems like you guys are batting 1,000 since you got here. I mean, how long have you been here? 5 years? 4 years?
Almost five now.
Almost 5 years, right? So you're looking, I mean, 5 years, you guys are batting 1,000, man. I mean, you guys, do y'all ever stop and go, hey, man, we've done a pretty damn good job. Like, this is, the vibe is right. The noise is loud. The love is real. Now, it helps that you win 10 or 12 games a year. But the reality of it is, like, there's just, man, I mean, it's everything comes out. Everything y'all put your hands on, it just seems like y'all have nailed it, man.
Hey, I appreciate the sentiment. Yeah. We don't win them all. We're going to try to win as many as we can, right? We know how this goes. But, again, you got to go back. Think about the culture that's been built. Culture is top down. Culture is all of us together. So it's not about me. It's not about any individual. It's about a culture of a system where we have extremely brilliant creative minds, number one. Number two, the leadership at our president level, setting world-class expectations, right? Yeah. Batting 1,000, batting 900, whatever it may be. If you're going to be a world-class organization that sporting clubs and fans across the globe look at and say, that's the example, that's the model, you have to operate and hit them up here all the time. And then you think below that, man, I have 65 absolutely brilliant creative people that are part of my organization and that they do bangers. We don't win them all. You know what? The metrics tell you that. But by gosh, they look at the data, they listen to the fans, and they make adjustments constantly to deliver on that fan expectation. And that's how we continue to build this culture that is not about one person. People change out. We're going
to
keep winning.
To what he's talking about, my favorite part of the uniform, Ron, you just looked at it.
Is it the bull or the?
No, I like the bull on everything. I think it's one of the sickest logos in the NFL. It's the way they put the us in a different color in Houston.
Yeah, they've been doing.
I mean, that's nasty. That's nasty right there, man. Well done. Well done once again.
Also, Doug, let people know when they will wear them. Because I think it's only one time.
One time a year.
That's ridiculous. I believe the Titans should see these uniforms, but so they can only wear them one time a year. That's the only time we're going to see them. Which week? Which game?
We're going to see a primetime football versus the Colts.
Versus the Colts. All right.
Yes, and what is that week? What?
I'm not sure. By the way, is this the only place we're going to see
week 11?
The tile. in the stadium? Is this the only place?
Oh, you know we're gonna drip the stadium out. Come on now.
Okay, I'm just wondering. I mean, this the tile.
We decorate for game day. You know, you're gonna see all the field wraps, the end zones, right?
So the end zone. That seemed like the perfect spot.
You know, end zone. That's a whole nother art, man. You and I could talk an hour about all the rules about end zones.
But what you're allowed to all do and rules. Not allowed to do.
You can't have white on it because the line's white.
Yeah.
You can't paint a border around it. You can't. So some of those fan designs we've already seen are awesome, but right. We can't do them per the rules. So we got some things cooking to play with the rules. But man, it's going to be fun, man.
Yeah, it's good stuff,
man. Doug, we appreciate you. Clap it up for Doug. Doug, they've done a great job here with these uniforms. As you said, sometimes it's hard to bat 1,000. I have not seen anyone that has issues with the uniform. I would have liked the bullhorns, but I mean, hey, you know, you can't get them all.
The bullhorns
is cold blooded.
That's the beauty of it. The only thing you can do when you look at these uniforms, really all of them, but is I can, if somebody wears black shoes with this uniform, I'm gonna be mad. If Azeez Al-Shaair and Henry Toa Toa wear black shoes with these damn uniforms, I'm gonna be hot. I mean, you
these
can do
are the
white
two people apparently who you believe.
I just think that's a middle linebacker black shoe move on this jersey.
Sidewind ass.
Only a middle linebacker. See the big guys like you, Ron. See them interior defensive line. They think they look sweet, so they
don't care. I don't think Evan Brown cares.
The middle line.
Hey, he's just out here. He's trying to get it done. Me. I was meticulous about my uniform.
Oh, ain't no doubt. You'd have white shoes on with it. White spats, too.
Hell yeah. White shoes. I get the shoestrings right. All right, Doug, man. We appreciate you,
guys.
For stopping by, man. The Texans' new uniforms, man. If you missed them, the helmets, the uniforms, they are top notch. These last two jerseys, boy, I mean, are cold blooded. Cannot wait to see them against the Colts. Coming up as we continue a little bit of real or fake. Real or fake, we make some statements. If they're real or fake, we don't need to make the statement about these uniforms. It is real. They are on point. Every time you look at them, you see something new that you're not seeing. I didn't even see them slide that tile on the very back on there. Boy, y'all snuck them in. All right, that's us as we continue coming up here on The Drive, real or fake.
95.7 The Fan, live from the West Point Lincoln and West Point Lincoln of Sugarland Studios. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
And wrap my heart round your little finger.
Listen up, H-Town. Now is the time we separate truth from trickery, fact from fiction. It's real or fake on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right, a little real or fake. 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. You can jump in. I make a statement. You let me know if it's real or fake. Real or fake? We'll start with you, Tyler. Hunter Brown will be a Houston Astro in 2029. He becomes a free agent after the 2028 season. Hunter Brown will be an Astro in 2029. Real or fake?
I'm going to say I want it personally to be real if Hunter Brown continues to be the diesel we know and that ace type of guy. But I also know it is very possible that this is going to be fake. Because I don't think Jim Crane's going anywhere. Obviously, we do not know who the general manager is going to be of the Astros right now, which is a big factor. I'm torn. I'm going to say real, though. I'm going to have some faith that these guys are actually going to pay someone that's great at throwing a baseball whenever the time comes. I'll say real.
Real or fake?
There you go. There you go, T. I think it's real. Look, I understand what we're up against. I understand the reason the question is being asked. I would argue that Hunter Brown is in terms of being here longer term is as big, if not bigger, than Yordan Alvarez. And I know what I'm saying. Yordan Alvarez is to me. Hunter Brown is to me. These guys like Yordan Alvarez do not walk through the door very often. You got a guy that is a potential. A potential Hall of Famer. You got a guy that is, if he's healthy, will live in the top 5 to 10 pitchers in Major League Baseball for the next 10 years. Yeah, I believe in Hunter Brown, and I think Jim Crane makes an exception with this cat.
Yeah, I'm gonna say real, because I think Jim Crane is competitive. I think he is a meddler, and I think we've talked about it for years that he at least a good year. That he's got some real Jerry Jones tendencies in him, but I do think after what we've seen here, the failed situation with how things have happened under Dana Brown and Joe Espada, I think he's going to go back to giving his guys more resources to actually win. This isn't working. They've got to do more. So I think this is going to be a turning point on how Jim Crane operates, and I think Hunter Brown will be the beneficiary, and the Astros will be the beneficiary of that. All right, Clint, what you got coming up here on the four?
Dolly Parton. We lost a great one, y'all. What's the best Dolly Parton, your favorite Dolly Parton song? 713-572-4610. Send it in. Let us know your favorite Dolly Parton tune. I got one bit of pushback on the jersey drop, and it doesn't have to do with the actual jersey, so I didn't hit Doug with it. And then the X Factor. We hit on it yesterday. I called Jalen Knoll the X Factor before training camp started. He was injured. Higgins stood out. Higgins got injured. Now it's Knoll's turn. Can he still be the X Factor that I thought he'd be? We'll cuss and discuss next right here.